text for our sermon this morning is the gospel reading just read, and also too, St. Paul's epistle to the Corinthians, speaking of love and the psalm today. As you heard me read at the beginning of the service, Psalm 71, "Be to me a rock of refuge, to which I may continually come. God's grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Amen. Today in our gospel, we see that we have reason to remember this psalm, Psalm 71, the call out to Christ and God, "Be to me a rock of refuge, to which I may continually come." Because in our gospel reading, we see a bit of our own lives. We see a bit of our own lives in it, and the troubles that we face in spiritual turmoil, physical turmoil. But we also see the answer. We see the greater answer. We see that Jesus, by his word, cast out demons, healed Simon's mother-in-law, restored people. God's word is the rock to which we return. He is our steadfast place of hope and trust. Today, our readings, as we're in this season of Epiphany, today Jesus is revealed as God himself, who has something for us, who hasn't just left us to sort of flounder around, but he has a firm foundation for you to trust in, a place to flee to in a time of anguish. And ironically enough, it's a demon today who reveals to us, who epiphanies to us. It is a demon today who reveals who Jesus is. "You are the Holy One of God," the demon says. We also learn about what Jesus' word can do. Three times in our reading, we hear the word "rebuke." We hear Jesus audibly speak and use his word, the sword of the Spirit, to fight against the devil. We see that Jesus has not come to destroy us, but to rescue us from certain destruction, certain self-destruction. Because, to be honest, our problems are, well, many times they're brought onto us by our own fault. They're brought on upon us because we have not trusted the word, but we've trusted in ourselves. Or we've trusted in, well, that old snake oil salesman, right? There's always been what we call these snake oil salesmen who are ready to give you a remedy for this, a remedy for that, a remedy for the side effects of the last remedy I sold you. Here, take this pill. It'll help with the side effects of the last pill we gave you. All for a discounted price, of course, because, well, we like you. Jesus comes to reveal something to us about the nature of God. He's not a salesman. He's not a snake oil salesman who, "Well, this remedy may not have worked last time, try this one." God is revealed as one who gives us forgiveness and life. The problem is always the same. It's always sin. The solution is always the same. His word of forgiveness, his word of sustenance, so that we may endure, so that we may continue in the faith, even through our darkest days. Because God is not coming to sell us anything. He's not coming to give us a remedy that needs help, but he's coming to give us, what did we say? "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." And interestingly enough, in John chapter 6, that is the only other time in scriptures when this name of Jesus, the Holy One of God, is used. The Holy One of God, this title of Jesus, is attached to the Word of God working and doing something and bringing words of eternal life. That Jesus brings through the forgiveness of sins, restoration by his word. First in our reading today, we see the day that it took place on. Jesus, we are told, was teaching on the Sabbath. This is how the Sabbath day was intended to be fulfilled and practiced. On the Sabbath day, a person, of course, you know, was to not work. But it wasn't just for the sake of not working. Not working on the Sabbath day meant that, well, you were to hear and to be taught God's word. The Sabbath day was never first and foremost about doing nothing. It was that. It was don't work, God said, keep it holy. But it was a day set aside to recognize that God works on us. That God has not left us, but that he has something to give us. That it is a day when God interrupts our schedule and says, I have something for you to heal you and to help you. That God is not far away. That even in the Old Testament, his word would teach repentance and also the mercy of God. This is why our meaning for the third commandment, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Not working on a particular day doesn't make it holy. God's word is what sets things apart and makes it holy. This is why we should fear and love God so that we do not despise preaching in his word, but hold it sacred. Gladly hear and learn it. The psalmist says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Because it is there that God is working for you. It was the Sabbath day and Jesus was working. The word of God was working, but someone else was working overtime that day as well. A demon-possessed man, he had come to the synagogue as well. He was working to destroy, the demon was working to destroy the man. But even more than that, the demon was also trying to destroy what Jesus was doing by his word. This is why demons, when they make an appearance, they often are trying to distract you, trying to get you to be afraid, as we hear in the scriptures. They do strange things because they're trying to pull your attention away from Jesus. They cannot hurt us, demons and spirits. But what they do try to do is to distract us from the work of God, trying to lead us astray. The demon, though, he knows something many of the people around weren't too sure of. That the demon calls out and he confesses who Jesus is. You are the Holy One of God. And then the demon, knowing right and wrong, the demon comes to the conclusion. He says, have you come to destroy us? And that's the question that needs to be epiphanied as Jesus is going around preaching. If Jesus is God in the flesh, if God has come down to us, what has he come to do? We know we deserve destruction. Is that what God has come to do? Now, many times it might feel like that. Many unbelievers, and that's the temptation of unbelief, even for us, is to think that that's why God lets us suffer. So he's trying to destroy our faith. Well, in a way, he is. He's trying to destroy your faith and all your false gods. He's trying to destroy your trust and all the things that the devil gives and places in front of us. So in one way, yes, by our suffering, God does try to destroy, but he isn't trying to destroy you or your faith and trust in him. But whatever it is that your flesh is chasing after, whether it be your pride or something else, the demon knows who Jesus is, that he's the Holy One of God, and that he has come to work. He's come to do something. And he knows that just by his word, Jesus can destroy him. He knows that just one little word will fail him, as we hear at Reformation time. Jesus rebuked him, saying, be silent and come out of him. When the demon had thrown him down in their midst, he came out of him, having done him no harm. Jesus comes to free those who are in spiritual anguish, to free the ones from the devil torments. Jesus has come to rescue those who the devil is burdening with darkness or even a spiritual malaise. I don't know if you've ever been in what I would describe for myself, a spiritual funk. Maybe not demon-possessed, but just a cloud of darkness or anxiety. Many times this spiritual battle, let's call it, many times the spiritual battle, though, is brought on by sinful behavior. It's brought on by wicked thoughts. God told Cain before he murdered his brother that if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door because its desire is to rule over you. When we entertain thoughts of worry, anxiety, of coveting, or also what Jesus points out in, with the sixth commandment, sins of the mind of adultery, when our thoughts run wild, when we covet things that we don't have, when we worry, we're inviting darkness to rule over us. When we think about a person we don't like so much and our thoughts are consumed with hate, we stew in our anger. We see that in Cain. And what happened is he murdered his brother, and we can murder in our hearts, and that brings darkness. Worry, anxiety, depression will all lead to this darkness. Now, many times it's not because of our fault, but oftentimes it is, and we need to recognize that. And many times the reason why we might experience a spiritual battle is because we've walked where we shouldn't have gone. We've done, we've thought, we've said things we shouldn't have done. I can't say that's the case with the demon-possessed man in our story, to be sure, but if we entertain wickedness in our mind without repentance, without allowing that word of God to penetrate our ears, to have that remedy coming from outside of ourselves, to give us the Holy Spirit, to strengthen us in our battle, well, many times the darkness can feel like possession. Look at our reading today. The man, he didn't even ask Jesus to be healed. In God's good time, Jesus' powerful word came and shattered the darkness. And so God may let you carry a heavy cross for a little while so that he may teach you to examine your life. But to be sure, he's calling you to repent. And to not take the snake oil, right? The snake oil is not the gospel. The snake oil is the remedy. The gospel is the remedy. The snake oil is that which we keep chasing after. That which the devil places before us and says, oh, this will solve your problem. This will help you. And then it doesn't. And the devil's right there with another one. Here, take this one. Well, the gospel is our rescue. It's powerful. Look at Jesus' powerful word for this poor man in spiritual anguish. He didn't ask the man if he wanted to be healed. Jesus did it because he knows a life of slavery to our passions is no life to live. God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Sins of the mind are dangerous, but you need to know there is always a solution. There is always a rescue. Have God's word enter your ears. That same word that rescued this man today will rescue you. We don't know how long this man was possessed by this evil spirit. Sometimes the scriptures do indicate, they say he suffered for a long time, or, or not, but that isn't mentioned in our text today. But what we are taught is that Jesus can and does bring spiritual healing. Now, of course, I don't want to deny the reality of depression and mental illness. Yes, all that understood. But we also can't forget the spiritual side of this, and seeing that in our reading today. That God's word is where you can find relief in times of temptation. When anxiety or the dark clouds gather on the horizon. Pray that you do not give in. And we see today in Jesus God's desire to help those who might even feel as if they're possessed. He even helps without our prayer. But part of the rescue is also praying. God says, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you. Jesus is this one who we can trust, because he never fell for temptation. He stands ready to help. He knows what it's like. He was tempted in every way as you are, but he remained faithful. He remained faithful so that when we are facing spiritual malaise, just kind of really no care for things, when we feel the heaviness, he stayed faithful so that he can be a rock of rescue in his forgiveness. Forgiveness even for your own darkness that you let the devil in. Jesus doesn't care. He wants to give us life. And the light of forgiveness. Jesus doesn't just care about our spiritual difficulties, though, either. This is a beautiful thing about our reading today. And putting all these things right here, we see the word of God is not just for spiritual well-being. But the next person Jesus helps is Simon's mother-in-law. Jesus is shown not only to care about our spiritual battles, but also our physical ailments. The word of God is also here to help you in your physical needs. Sin and the devil has wreaked so much havoc on our body and souls and all creation. The devil will tempt you spiritually, but also physically. Simon's mother-in-law, we are told, was afflicted in body. She had a fever. Bodily illness can also chip away at our spiritual well-being. So don't take it lightly. The devil is always there trying to take you away. But we also see something wonderful here. Simon's mother-in-law is sick, and you can imagine Simon, how many times he prayed. But look, the text makes an effort to tell us, and they all petition Jesus to help. What a wonderful treasure we see here, that they prayed to Jesus to help. Simon's mother-in-law's friends and family prayed. Now Jesus knew he would heal Simon's mother-in-law. He knew that was going to happen, but yet he still allowed many people to pray for her to be healed before he did anything. And he hears our prayers, and he lets us come alongside him to pray and to bring before him our cares and concerns and those that we love. We see here prayer is a very important and powerful thing. So we should pray for healing. For anyone who's sick, but specifically those that God has called us to care for. If you are a baptismal sponsor for anyone, remember that's part of your role as a baptismal sponsor. It's to pray for that person whose baptism you witness. And also too, for us as we think about our baptismal sponsors, we should too in turn pray for them. Remember that you have people praying for you. We especially pray for each other. James 5:16, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another. The prayer of a righteous man has great power. Jesus reveals to us today that God desires to help us in body and spirit. He is Epiphany, revealed, not as the one who's come to destroy us, but to destroy all the things we've placed our hope in apart from him. Sin, of course, has brought sadness and suffering even caused all of our sicknesses. But Jesus has come in flesh and blood to conquer all that which threatens to destroy us. That God really does care about completely restoring us. He works for you. He fulfilled the Sabbath commandment on our behalf so that we may rest in peace. That we may find true Sabbath. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The suffering that Christ faced on the cross was not just of physical suffering. He faced spiritual abandonment by his Father because Jesus was considered the worst sinner of all. He was stricken, smitten, and afflicted. Jesus, when he was on the cross, his heavenly Father did not rescue him in his time of anguish, because upon him was all of our anguish. Upon him was all of our doubts. Jesus was left alone by the Father to suffer spiritual darkness to the point of death. Physical pain and anguish the Father placed upon him so that we would be rescued. So that we know, no matter how dark it gets, Christ is always there. Isaiah says, by his stripes we are healed. Jesus came to show that God is not out to get us. He's not waiting to find some small fault with you and then to pull that on you on the last day. God is not looking for a reason to not help us when we get ourselves in trouble. He is not like us. He doesn't sit back and say, well, it serves you right. No, God has sent his Son Jesus to show us that his love knows no bounds. His mercy is not limited. That he is there to help us in our time of need. Paul tells the Ephesians, pray at all times in the Spirit. Keep alert with all perseverance, offering prayers for the saints. Jesus, after he does the spiritual healing and then the physical healing, what then does he say? They want him to stay, and we should too. We should ask Christ, stay with us. Do not depart. The people say that because, well, in reality, we know God should leave us. For the thanks that we give to him, that we turn on him so often. Jesus doesn't leave them, though. He has left them his word. He has left us his word and presence. He says, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose. And he was preaching in the synagogues in Judea. Jesus' word is continually preached. It continues to go out. He didn't just give them a short-term remedy. We are to see that his word being preached and heard continues to feed and to strengthen the faith of people who he has called to be his own. Of Jesus going and leaving the town and continuing to preach is a testimony that his word is going to continue to be preached and to sent out. Sabbath rest is going to still be given. So whether you are currently suffering a spiritual anguish, whether your body is showing you the results of your sin, do not give up. Christ will, in his good time, show you his healing. He will show you his word is powerful and it never fails. But all of that in his good time. But he will show you. Our faithfulness right now is to make use of this word and his sacrament to keep us in the faith until we do see him face to face and all of our suffering will come to an end. Until then, we fight the good fight of faith. We don't give up, but we repent. We have his word enter our ears as the remedy for all things, even death itself. We fight the good fight knowing our suffering is not without purpose. That even if it is self-imposed, what are we told? God uses all things for the good of those who believe. Even if your suffering is self-caused, God uses it for your good. How great is that? Because we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame. This is the love of God. And Jesus still comes among us to heal us, to forgive us, to strengthen our weak knees, to straighten our crooked backs. And he says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.